Wednesday night, our church voted to...
Hold on, Joe, and I'll tell what the title is. I don't have an exact scripture to turn to. Today, we're going to continue our study of the doctrine of unconditional election. Thus far, we have proven from the Bible that God is sovereign, that He does have a right to choose whom He pleases. We've also proven that God is the very one that does the electing, the choosing, the ordaining, the appointing, if you will, to salvation. We've proven that His decree of election was before the world began, before time was, before anyone was born. God chose a multitude. Don't get the idea that God only chose the folks here on Buffalo Creek. He chose people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. There will be multitudes of people in heaven, according to the book of Revelation. So don't get the idea that it's just us four and no more. It's just us eight and that's great. No, that, man, there's going to be a multitude that God has chosen. We also learn why God chose a people unto Himself. And it's simply because of His love, His mercy, and He did it according to His own good pleasure and His own will. So we've covered all of those topics up to this point. Now we're going to shift gears a little bit and we're going to teach some other things that most people rarely consider regarding the doctrine of election. You see, I believe it's my responsibility as your pastor, as a faithful Baptist, to preach the truth, but also to expose error. So this morning, we're going to start on a lesson that I've titled The Arminian Notion of Election Refuted. Everyone ascribes to some kind of election, whether it's true or whether it's false. The person who contends for sovereign grace believes that God's election is eternal, sovereign, and unconditional. The Arminian will say that he believes in the election of the nation of Israel as well as an election to service. However, the Arminian notion of election is conditional. It's conditioned upon something that God supposedly saw in man before He elected him, before He chose him. To put it real simple, Arminianism teaches that God looked down in the future and saw who would repent and believe in Jesus. And on that basis of foreseeing faith, then He elected or chose them. John Wesley, who I call the Prince of Arminianism, basically was the one who put together the foundation of the Methodist Church. Here's what he said. The Scriptures tell us plainly what predestination is. It is God's foreappointing obedient believers to salvation. Not without, but according to His foreknowledge of all their works from the foundation of the world. God, from the foundation of the world, foreknew all men's believing or not believing. And according to this, His foreknowledge, He chose or elected all obedient believers as such to salvation. That view, sadly, if people were honest and actually covered the doctrine, most Baptist churches never even touch the doctrine of election. They don't even present the Arminian view. People don't know what they believe, why they believe it in most Baptist churches. Sad to say, more Baptists follow this teaching in their faith and practice than they do what the Bible teaches. I'm not a follower of James Arminius, who Arminianism is named after. I am not a follower of John Wesley. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But that view is full of error on several accounts. First of all, Arminianism has a false view of God's foreknowledge. They regard foreknowledge as merely God's ability to know beforehand, which is properly called foresight or prescience, which is an aspect of God's omniscience, His ability to know all things. Yet foreknowledge, strictly speaking, is not an attribute of God. Rather, it is a divine act based upon His own sovereign decree and purpose. When foreknowledge is mentioned in the Scripture, it is not limited to a mere acquaintance. Rather, it always has to do with a special affection or appointment. A.W. Pink said, "It is individuals God is said to foreknow, not the actions of those persons." In the Scriptures, to know or to foreknow means to regard with favor, with special affection, to love intimately. It is not mere prescience or cognition, but it is an act of love on the part of God concerning His elect. And I'm going to give you some scriptures to back up what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and use our Bibles this morning. And I want you to mark how the words "know" or "knew" are used in context here. Go back to Genesis 4 and verse 1. Again, what we're teaching is that foreknowledge is not mere prescience or part of God's omniscience as such. It is rather an act of love, of special intimacy that God has specifically for His people. Now, look what it says here. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain. The reference is to Adam having a special love and affection only for his wife. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. God is saying to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now in that verse, notice how closely the words "knew," "sanctified," and "ordained" are related one to another. God did not know Jeremiah just by mere cognition, as He knows everybody. He regarded Jeremiah as an object of His sovereign electing love, and because of that, He set him apart to serve. Isn't that exactly what God does with His elect in light of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? Work His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, ordained to good works that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace alone, not by anything that God saw in us. All right, here's a great one. Turn over to Amos chapter 3. I love the name Amos. I wish if I ever had another kid, I'd name him Amos or Caleb or something like that. Look here. Amos is right after Hosea. Or right after Joel. Amos chapter 3. And look at verse 2. God is talking to the nation of Israel. "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." God is here speaking to His chosen people of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. That nation, it's said of in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, and 8, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." Now think with me. Let's use your thinking cap for a minute. Does God know all the families of the earth? By omniscience? Yes, God knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. But here He says to the nation of Israel, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." God knew all the other families of the earth by way of omniscience. But He regarded the children of Israel with a special affection and love which went beyond mere cognition to electing, distinguishing grace. Now, we're going to go through scriptures where the words "know" and "foreknow" are inseparably linked with elect individuals. The objects of God's sovereign love, partakers of Christ's redeeming blood, and the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. So if you would, turn with me to Nahum chapter 1. Best I can do is tell you that it's in the Old Testament Minor Prophets. It's after Micah, I know that. It's before Zephaniah, or before Habakkuk, if that really helps you a lot. One of my mental blocks in the ministry is the Minor Prophets. I don't know why. I can't get them in order in my mind. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Remember, we're talking about a foreknowledge that is a special love and affection for a particular people. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Look what he says to some people in verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, this special love, affection, regard that God has, this special knowledge of His people. 2 Timothy 1:9. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You know what? I'm quoting the wrong verse. Let's go ahead and read that verse, because it's a great one. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, over to chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Interestingly enough, the very context tells you who He's talking about. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. There's a direct connection between verse 29 and 33. He's identifying those that He foreknew, that He predestinated, that He called, that He justified, that He glorified. And He denominates them or names them as His elect, His chosen. How about Romans 11, verse 2? This is one of the strongest reasons why I believe that there is a future for the nation of Israel. Let's read verse 1 in chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Regarded with that special love and intimacy. Now, by the way, that is a killer to Arminian doctrine. Because if you believe what they say, then you'd have to say, well, then you got to believe in preservation of the saints. And they hate that because they believe you can lose your salvation. I don't. See, this is... Understand this. Salvation is of the Lord. You aren't capable of it. You and I aren't capable of getting it or keeping it. It's all of God. From beginning to end, we're merely the recipients of it. First Peter 1, verse 2. We're almost done. We'll pick up with this next Sunday, God willing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I've given you just nearly every verse that relates to our subject. Now, one more verse. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. I would ask my Arminian brethren to contrast all the verses that I've cited thus far with Matthew 7, verse 23. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, in the context of this verse, Jesus Christ is addressing non-elect reprobates who were false professors of religion. He knew them by omniscience, as He knows all the works and the hearts of all men. However, He did not know them in the sense of the special affection and love which He has for the objects of His electing grace. He didn't know them or love them. He didn't call them His sheep. He called them workers of iniquity. He didn't call them unto Himself. Rather, He tells them to depart from Him and consigns them to eternal torment in the lake of fire. I never knew you. You'll search the Scriptures in vain, trying to find where Jesus Christ ever speaks in such a way to the objects of His special love and electing grace. He never talks in those terms. So the first point that we've refuted is an unscriptural view of foreknowledge as opposed to one that's right and true. We'll pick this up next Sunday, God willing.